For you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time, Lord, and this chapter 50 that Patrick taught on. And Lord, the perception you gave me on it, knowing your word, Lord, and teaching your word in referencing chapter 50, I'm going to use as my title, Serving in the Flesh or in the Spirit. And the text I'm going to use is John chapter 21. Verses 1 to 10. So the first thing we see is the disciples serving in the power of the flesh. Peter says, I'm going fishing, and yet God didn't call him to go fishing. The result was fruitless efforts brought about by the flesh as they work all night. The scripture says they caught nothing. Then the Lord comes on the scene. He directs them and tells them where to work, which resulted in their net being filled with fish. It must have been deja vu for the guys. In Luke 5, verses 1 to 11, under similar circumstances, Jesus had called them to leave their occupation as fishermen to become fishers of men. It was a renewed call to their work of catching men. But it was also an assurance their labor in him would not be in vain. Let me say that again. It was also an assurance that their labor in him would not be in vain, whatever we do. Jesus wanted them to understand that as he had prospered their efforts while he was with them in the flesh, they could count on his guidance, power, and blessing when he was absent from them. In verse 1, we read, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. What the Lord was about to do and say had a prophetic significance. It was a picture of his future relationship with them. It's a relationship that he has with us today. It says Jesus showed himself. It means he was manifesting his presence, his power, and his glory. In Matthew 28, verse 10, Jesus told the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren. Go to Galilee, and they will see me." This is why seven of the disciples were there in Galilee, but for some reason, the other four weren't there yet. Now, it would appear that while they were waiting for these other apostles to show up, Peter decided to go fishing. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Then they said to him, "We're going to go with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night, they caught nothing. So here's Peter's impulsive nature as he takes the lead. But what we need to keep in mind, the Lord did not give them orders to go fishing. He didn't give them orders. They weren't seeking the Lord. So when the Lord wasn't leading them, guess what they were doing? They were going by what they felt they needed to do. Not only did the Lord not appear to the disciples, they were left to themselves and they caught nothing. It's a warning to us. We can't count on the Lord's blessing when we choose what we want to do or go where he hasn't sent us. This is what I love about the Lord. In his grace, he taught them they had to wait on him in and through their own experiences. John 15, verse 5. They didn't seek God first. They went in the power of the flesh. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." One way of knowing they were operating in the flesh instead of the spirit, they failed to recognize Jesus. They were blinded. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 4. How many times do we act in the flesh and follow the example of man instead of waiting on the Lord? Notice what they do. They go back to their worldly calling, and they're more concerned with their physical needs. Amazing. Jesus knew they didn't have any food. He wanted them to fess up to the fact that they had blown it, so then Jesus could then meet their need. This is the way God always deals with his people. Before he can supply for us, we have to first own up to the fact that apart from him, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. We have to realize how weak we really are. Verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Here's what's so amazing to me. These were men who had fished all their lives. These weren't novices. They had fished forever, since they were small kids. Yet they labored all night and took in nothing. They were more or less like experts at fishing. Here Jesus tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat, and by his power, he drew the fish into their net. You see, success is not based on how eloquent we might be, or by our power to persuade people, or by anything else. It's totally of God's sovereign power. Sometimes we can sincerely believe we're doing God's will, but our labors turn out to be in vain, turns out to be vanity. It's because we're serving without receiving direction from the Lord, and his blessing isn't in it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Because they followed the Lord's instruction, they cast, and now they weren't able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. You know, I see something very valuable here where many failed today. Even though they had fished all night and caught nothing and had already brought the net back into the boat, check it out. At the Lord's word, notice they cast the net into the sea again. Instead of being angry and giving up and saying, "Man, just forget it," they put their feelings aside. And in obedience to Jesus, they trust him and they take him at his word. You see, I mean, this is a pretty heavy thought. But for the disciples, the difference between success and failure was the width of that boat. The width of that boat. We are never far from success when we allow Christ to lead us. Many times, we're closer to success than we realize. Here's the problem, though. We usually give up just before we're successful. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, we all know who that is, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. John is a good picture of how we need to respond when the Lord blesses our service, our work. But then when our plans go wrong, when things turn bad, when we get disappointed or go through some affliction, when persecution comes our way, we need to know it's the Lord who has it all under control. Verse 9, then as soon as they had come to land, they saw the fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Having risen from the dead, he's still mindful of their physical needs. It shows he cares for their bodies as well as their souls. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. First, it tells us the Lord cares for us. Secondly, the Lord left us an example to follow. He cared for his own. How much more should we minister to the physical needs of others? Third, we're taught laboring for others our needs will be met. Did you hear that? In laboring for others, our needs will be met. Fourth, just the fact they were fish already on the fire, it shows the Lord can and does save people apart from our efforts. Finally, it's an awesome picture of Christ bringing refreshment and satisfaction when our laboring in this world is over and we are with him. So what six men weren't able to do in their power and strength, Peter now does as he stands at Christ's feet. That's where the true place of strength is, at Christ's feet. Strength will be given to us in proportion to our fellowship with him. Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. I want to finish with what Oswald Chambers said. He said, God's main concern is that we are more interested in him than in work for him. Once you're rooted and grounded in Christ, the greatest thing you can do is to be. Don't try and be useful. Be yourself, and God will use you to further his needs. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us and teach us, Lord. A lot of little insight I got out of this teaching, God, and I just pray you would bless it with those who will be listening to it. We just love you. We give you the rest of this time. In Jesus' name, amen.